2 weeks after a stunning presidential election, Democrats are evaluating their missteps over the last few months and looking to make a fresh start on the road to the 2018 elections. Here in Michigan, a state which saw its closest ever presidential contest, Democrats are retooling their core message and building a plan to win back many of their core voters who broke ranks and voted for Donald Trump. Joining me now in the studio to talk about the Michigan Democratic Party's plans for the future is its chairman, Brandon Dillon. Brandon, welcome to A Current State.
Well, thank you for having me.
There have been a lot of theories put out there since the election about why Hillary lost, why Democrats failed to take back the Congress and the Michigan House. Give us your assessment. What do you think went wrong?
Well, I'll be very blunt. They got more votes than Michigan.
You're good.
You know, there's a few things I think that we need to look at, and you know, we're going through a process of really analyzing the data and talking to folks about the message and field and all the other components of a campaign. But I think at the end of the day, the first takeaway is that you know Donald Trump was able to essentially hijack a message that Democrats have been delivering for a long time about protecting the working class, middle class, trying to make sure that we were counterbalancing the power from people at the top, and delivered it more effectively despite the, you know, the racist, sexist kind of language that he was using. I think there was enough voters out there who are frustrated with the way Washington's been working or not working, and just said, look, we're gonna go with this and see what happens. It can't be any worse than what we've seen so far, and we have to, I think, get bogged down in trying to make the election all about why Donald Trump wasn't fit to be president instead of what plans and policies Hillary Clinton and the rest of the Democratic ticket would do to make people's lives better. So getting back to our core message and how we appeal to a broad swath of the electorate, whether it's white working class voters, Latino voters, African-American voters, young voters who are concerned about the way the system is currently structured, I think is important for us to consider as we go forward.
Well, just an hour earlier this morning here, we heard David Brock on NPR. Mr. Brock is the founder of two progressive super PACs. And the point was raised with David Green of NPR that Democrats have to do. I mean, Mr. Trump apparently did really well, or better than expected, I should say, with the white working class. Talk to us specifically about that. You alluded to that in your answer, but is that on your short list of concerns next time around?
Well, certainly. We don't want to concede the vote of any group of voters out there. And, you know, I think we need to be cognizant as well about the national Democratic message, which seems to not be as... which seems to resonate with a lot of people, frankly. I mean, Hillary Clinton will end up winning probably over 2 million more votes than Donald Trump across the country, but that does little to affect the presidential race when we can't carry states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, where you have a lot of these. I think we're lumping a bunch of people into this, but white working class voters, people who are feel that the system isn't working. I think a lot of these voters, we're going to find out, are very similar to the kind of folks that turned out for Ross Perot in the early 90s and in the times that he ran for president. So, but I think we would be mistaken just to try to cater a message directly to these folks. This is not really about identity politics as much as it is about, you know, which party or which candidate do people think is actually willing to take on the system and get at campaign finance reform, tax reform, amending trade deals, investing in things that actually put people to work. And folks didn't either buy what we were selling or thought that Donald Trump could deliver on those. And the bad news for the Republicans is, you know, they have total control. There's a lot of promises made. We're going to try to keep him accountable to those promises, but he's said that he would deliver a lot, and he was the only one who can do it. We'll see if he's able to.
We're talking with Michigan Democratic Party Chairman Brandon Dillon on WKAR's Current State. How would you assess Hillary Clinton's ground game here in Michigan up before the election?
Yeah, I actually think that the ground game itself was pretty effective. There was, over 200 staff on the ground had been here since July and targeting voters across the state. I think strategically, we have to look at going forward the kind of voters we're talking to on a consistent basis. I think there's been a focus, not just with the Clinton campaign, but other Democratic campaigns in the last few cycles, on really just trying to turn out our base and not talking to those voters who don't necessarily look like solid Democratic voters, but are persuadable. But in terms of the mechanics, I think the campaign ran very well. I think the message that was being delivered was not resonating with those swing voters and those others that came out, particularly in some of the rural areas. But I think the ground game was executed very well, but I think the strategy of only talking to base voters and not expanding the universe of people that you're calling on the phone or knocking on their doors is something that we have to really look at going forward, because we obviously, I don't think our base is big enough to be able to just rely on and getting those people out to vote.
Isn't the bottom line, though, fewer African-American Democrats, fewer Democratic millennials turned out in Michigan as in 2012? I mean, I know you're yeah. downplaying the role of identity politics here, but that's got to be a concern, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think there's been a lot made of the vote in Detroit, but frankly, the Detroit vote was not significantly off of where it was expected to be. There's been a lot of population loss in the city, and folks have moved into some of the inner ring suburbs and other areas. So it's hard to look at Detroit as just an entity unto itself without understanding that a lot of voters who may have lived there, been registered there, have moved out to other areas. But look, you had almost 100,000 undervotes at the presidential race, people who came out and vote but then did not vote in the presidential contest. I think that's something we have to understand, that it's about turnout, it's about getting our base out, but to believe that the only way you get your base out is by having a field operation, I think flies in the face of everything we've seen this cycle and in a couple cycles before, that the best predictor of turnout is people's motivation to vote and feeling like their vote matters. And we've got to get a handle on the message and make sure that the messenger is right. And then I think that really drives what we do in the field.
To what extent did the Michigan Democratic Party help the Clinton campaign? How much did they rely on you?
Well, our role after the primary was really more of a supportive role. The Clinton campaign, came in, they ran essentially their own operation. We helped help them put that together. We worked very closely with them to make sure that we identified the offices space that they would need and helped them recruit volunteers. But this was, this was their plan. It was their strategy, and we were here to help implement that. We did go out, and when there were things that we didn't think were being done to the level we thought they should be, went out and raised money to help supplement those efforts. But the Clinton campaign, as opposed to the Trump campaign, which really relied on state parties and the national party, was driven by Brooklyn.
Donald Trump's use of Twitter really dominated drove, I would say, largely, significantly drove the news cycle every day. Is the Michigan Democratic Party reassessing the role of social media in election success, electoral success?
Yeah, I would caution against drawing too many conclusions or trying to figure out how you would replicate what Donald Trump did on Twitter going forward. I think he is he's a unique candidate, to put it mildly. I do think the media and others are going to have a real challenge in trying to cover him going forward. We've seen in the last couple weeks since he's been president-elect that his Twitter messages seem to dominate the news cycle, which can sometimes be a distraction from the pretty serious things that are going on with his appointments and potential conflicts of interest already. So I think the old rules of how you cover a president or a presidential candidate are going to have to be reexamined given the way that Mr. Trump, President-elect Trump, has been using social media, frankly, I think, to distract and get a lot of attention and take people's eye off the ball on what's really important, which is our policies, appointments, and the way he's going to conduct himself in terms of ethics as president.
Very interesting thoughts there. We're talking about the Michigan Democratic Party and its strategy during the presidential election and its future. Looking forward to the 2018 midterms, my guest is the party chairman, Brandon Dillon. In 2018, our top three state officers, governor, attorney general, and secretary of state, all Republicans, will be ending their terms. It's widely expected that Attorney General Bill Schuette will run for governor. How do you begin to prepare a message to counter whomever the GOP puts up this far in advance? Is that taking shape?
Well, I think we're looking at, first of all, what our message has been and how we can make that stronger going forward in Michigan. I think you're going to see in 2018, Republicans have had total control. We've had total control of state government for at least 8 years at that point. And the same frustrations that drove people to feel that Washington was not delivering, that, to borrow a phrase, which I think was not necessarily indicative of what's going on, but to drain the swamp in Washington. I mean, there is a similar dynamic going on in Michigan where you have a government, you have an attorney general, you have a governor that have been really serving people at the top, and I think you're going to see a sharp focus on what Democrats, not only the ones running for governor, attorney general, and secretary of state, but all on the ticket, will do to reform the system to make it work for working people, average middle class families, and others. But we've got to tighten that message, and we've got to make sure we provide not just a critique of what's happened in the last 8 years, but a positive alternative to show what we would do differently. And it's a challenge. Attorney General Schuette is a very slick politician. He's known for changing his positions, much like Donald Trump, to suit whichever audience he's talking to. So we're going to have to be very smart about how we direct our campaigns, but I think we'll have the off-year election normally is a referendum on the party in power and the president at the time. So, like I said, they've got the keys to this car and are driving along and have made a lot of promises in Michigan and nationally, and we're going to be there to hold them accountable, but to also offer a vision of how things can be better.
Let me follow up on that last point you just made. How you believe then that the Trump administration's performance, good or bad, could impact the vote in Michigan in 2018? Trump fares badly, then Schuette, as a supporter of Trump, also that has a negative impact on him.
Yeah, we've seen. I mean, if you look back at many of the off-year elections, 2014, 2010, 2006. You have seen that the party in power usually takes the party in power, meaning the party that holds the White House, has taken a beating, with to put it mildly, in off-year elections. In 2006, it was George W. Bush who was president, and there was a real negative reaction to things that he had done. In 2010 and 2014, President Obama's popularity and favorable ratings were in the tank, and Democrats across the country, not just in Michigan, suffered for us. So increasingly these elections are being nationalized. There is still a strong local and state component, but if the environment is one where people are dissatisfied and wanting to send a message to whoever is the occupant of the White House, that can have some real dramatic effects down the ticket in terms of motivation and whose base is ready to get out and vote.
How strong do you feel Democratic candidates will be in 2018? I know you can't entirely anticipate that, but I mean, there are some big names that have been batted around: Gretchen Whitmer, Dan Kildee. Generally, Brandon, how strong do you feel Democratic candidates will be in 2018?
Well, the good news for Democrats is, we had a tough year. We had a tough election night. But looking forward to 2018, we have incredibly strong, qualified, smart candidates who have either expressed an interest in running for governor or whose names have been mentioned. We're also going to have, I think, an opportunity to have candidates for the Secretary of State, Attorney General, and Supreme Court who are extremely qualified. It's not going to be a matter of trying to find people to run this year. We have people chomping at the bit to go out and run and change the direction of the state because they really are frustrated with the way that Governor Snyder and Attorney General Schuette have done things with Flint water crisis, with Detroit, with the kind of scandals you've seen around some of the insider dealing and contracts for office buildings and lack of ethics and transparency. We're going to have a very strong ticket in 2018, and I think this is going to be a sign of a very healthy party to have a competitive race for these offices.
We've been talking about the Michigan Democratic Party and its plans for the next 2 years heading into the 2018 midterms. Brandon Dillon is a former state representative and currently the state party chairman. Brandon Dillon, thank you for taking time for us today.
Thanks for having me. Take care.